day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, it's going to keep you up at night. But if you have a plan and it's rules-based, hey, this is what's going to happen. It's based on our risk. We know we have money over here that we can live on. That's what a plan does. I'm not saying it's not going to make you uncomfortable, but what I am saying is more chances than not, it's not going to keep you up all night, every night.
Is about more than just a regular gym routine. When was the last time you checked on your financial fitness? If you're feeling like you're falling behind, Ed Sedell is here to help with The Retirement Trainer, a podcast about helping you get into better financial shape. Every week, Ed talks about things you need to know to become more financially fit for your future. Learn about things like how much money will you need, financial mistakes other people often make, and how you can avoid them. Plus, details on The Retirement Fitness Plan, a plan Ed personally created to help you get to and through retirement by focusing on five key areas of your financial life. Learn more about The Retirement Fitness Plan when you visit egsifinancial.com and click on processes. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to The Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer.
It's The Retirement Trainer with Ed Sedell, a podcast about finding ways to help you become financially fit for your future, no matter what financial shape you're in now. It's that time of year when everyone looks back at the first 6 months of the year and makes sure they're on course for the rest of the year, especially for 2026, because it's been anything but calm for investors, including the conflict in Iran, oil-driven inflation at a multi-year high, and concerns about AI, me included. So lessons can be learned about the last 6 months. And what can we do to apply to the rest of the year? This is Leanne Sedell, and here to help us with all our questions and to give us some guidance to help us stay in the best financial shape possible, the retirement trainer, Ed Sedell. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Leanne. Well, you know what? To answer your question, so what lessons can be learned? Well, you know what? Everyone tries to time the market, right? But the old adage is, it's not so much the timing the market, it is the time in the market. And that's a big deal because those who didn't get emotional about the market and who stayed invested, they reap the rewards because really it's all about a long-term view. And that's really what I want to focus on today. We're going to go through some economic stats, kind of where things were, what we see as far as earnings, et cetera. But it really is about emotion, right? The two emotions, we're looking at this chart, we're actually talking about it before. It's a up and down squiggly line. And at the top of one, it has Greer slash buy.
No, or wait, greed. Wait, greed. Sorry.
Yeah, Greer. Yeah, greed. Trying to do too many things, right? You know, buy at the high and sell at the low and repeat until broke. And that's typically what happens, right?
I know. I talked about this on the last podcast. You can open your eyes and look at 6 a.m. at futures, and you can see something like 349 points up. And then we can reflect back on this at 4:10 in the afternoon, and you can see 127 points down. But if you're watching that all day long, there's nothing productive that can bring you.
You're right. So let's start off with the lesson and then back into it. Okay, so the lesson is the best way to not erase, but mitigate or minimize your fear is to have a plan. And so if you have a plan, we talk about it all the time, rules-based investing. For us, our whole process is safety, income, and growth. That is our investment philosophy. And depending on the risk and how you're invested, with these ups and downs, because that's the market. I mean, the market's going to go up. It's going to go down. That's the guarantee. The guarantee is it's going to go up and go down. It's never going to continue to go up, and it's never going to continue to go down. It's just going to right back and forth. And you can't time it. You really can't. But if you structure, if you have a plan based on the outcomes that you want to have, it's going to reduce the fear because you know that you have enough money set aside and for income and that conservative bucket to weather the storm until everything bounces back so you don't have to sell your assets at a loss. That's really what it comes down to. You have money set aside in safety for emergency funds. And, you know, the growth bucket works. That's the stock market, right? Historically, statistically, you can't talk today.
I know.
Mathematically, I'm struggling. Holy cow. It works. So really what I want to do is, I know it drives you crazy, but I want to kind of go through some stats for the first half of the year through the end of last month, through the end of June, and then why it did so good, because really at the end of March, all the indices were down and they all became positive at the end of June, and it was pretty significant. So let's kind of go through that real quick. If you look at the S&P through the end of June, it was 9.6%. However, the last half of the second quarter, we'll just say the second quarter, it was actually 14.9%. So all the gains were in the second quarter. Let's talk about the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ was up 12.8 year to date through the end of June, and the NASDAQ was up 21.4% in the second quarter.
And again, I'm just going to summarize what you just said there, because it sounded a little confusing. So the first numbers that we're talking about, 9.6, is if you're looking
for the whole year, for 6 months, all the way through. And so really what that's saying is, and the same thing with the Dow, right? So let's throw that out there. So the Dow was 8.9% year to date, you know, January 1st through the end of June, and it was up 12.9%. So really for the second quarter of the year.
Second quarter, thank you.
And so what this is saying is that people, when they let fear drive their emotions and fear of missing out, which is greed, right? So it's really fear both ways. You sell at the bottom and then you're going to miss the up, or you buy at the top because you're the fear of missing out. And so really you have to have rules, right? What is the rule that you're going to invest by, and make sure that you have the outcomes that you want and live the way that you want to live? That's really what it's all about. Because if it bleeds, it leads. We don't even watch the news on the weekends. It's horrible. We have to watch it here during the week.
Well, and as we've seen many times, a lot of times things will drop on Friday that totally mess with the market.
Yep.
And then you'll see a rebound on Monday. And so you've got 2 days where people are sitting there, in some cases, 1,100 points down, thinking the end of the world has come. And then it roars back Monday, Tuesday of the next week.
Yeah.
So it's just, it is one of those things where I think by stressing on the philosophy and going back through safety, income, and growth, and I think I just want you, not that we haven't had our clients hear it over and over and over again, just digging a little deeper
they
into.
They can actually say it verbatim, I think most of them can.
I do agree.
When you look at the numbers, so let's talk about the Iran conflict. That was a big deal because, for the obvious reasons, right, the military action. But the economic impact that had on the country, because we are a petroleum-based society. And all the way down to our pharmaceuticals, a lot of the clothes that people wear, it's all petroleum-based. Everything in the grocery store is affected by petroleum and oil because it gets there through gasoline and diesel. And as the cost of oil per barrel increases, so I think it peaked at just under $120 a barrel. I think we're going to put this in our blog, either coming out today or tomorrow. It peaked at just under $120 a barrel. At the end of June, it was around $73. I just looked right now before we came in. So what is it, about 2 o'clock on July 6th? It's $61 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big difference. So the reason that that's huge is when you're looking at the PPI, Producer Price Index, and, you know, the CPI, Consumer Price Index. So that's the inflation drivers, okay? That's what the Federal Reserve looks at. And they were very, very hawkish on, oh my gosh, you heard people talking about having to raise rates because inflation is so high and it's over 4%. We even talked about this in one of the other podcasts recently. It was limited. We knew that as soon as oil started coming down, that was going to go away. Now, it was parabolic. As soon as oil went up, what happened to the cost of gas? It went through the roof, right? Now, it's taking a lot longer for it to come down.
Instantaneously, in fact.
<So. laughs> Kind of like a hockey stick, right? Straight up like a rocket. Like SpaceX, right?
Wow.
But it's taken a long time for it to come down. I did see it at $3.40 a gallon on the way back from vacation yesterday. And so that's going to have a positive effect on inflation. When I say lower inflation, lower costs going forward, and lower interest rates. And so, again, this is going to have an impact all the way across the board for the economy. But again, it goes down to, all right, well, what does this have to do with the market and retirement and savings? It has absolutely everything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have everything in growth in the stock market, and that's what you're living on, you're going to be way more fearful of the ups and downs. You're going to be really focused on what are my gains? What are my losses? Not just week by week, but day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, and it's going to keep you up at night. But if you have a plan And it's rules-based. Hey, this is what's going to happen. It's based on our risk. We know we have money over here that we can live on just in case we have another tech bubble or a housing bubble that kind of coincide, and it really stretches out that term for more than 10 years before it really breaks even. And you can still maintain your lifestyle, give the outcome that you want, and you're not going to have to sell your assets at a loss. That's what a plan does. I'm not saying it's not going to make you uncomfortable, but what I am saying is more chances than not, it's not going to keep you up all night, every night.
And the 10-year time frame, it's important that people understand kind of what the time frame is on any given investment.
Yeah, it should be long term, right? You know, so when you're looking at growth, that's long term. That income bucket is shorter term, and safety is the now bucket, right? That's really what it is. So that safety is the emergency funds. We always say 6 to 12 months cash reserve set aside that you can get to now, right? If something were to happen, here we go. It's in a money market, high yield savings account. It's earning whatever it is right now, 3.5%. And the purpose is not to make money. That's a bonus, right? The purpose is to be able to get your hands on it when you need it. That's the whole goal. Your income, which is also your conservative bucket, you know, you could have structured notes, pensions, Social Security, the rental income, annuities. A lot of people have annuities. You could have dividend income. That's a big thing, right? A lot of people have dividends. It doesn't really matter what it is because you're drawing income. And even as the market's going up and down, you're able to sustain the highs and the lows. And it's really not going to affect your ability to live. Because typically the average bear market was 3 to 5 years. Now, we haven't seen that since 2020. It's been 6 months or less. And we talked about this last time, too. And so we're a little spoiled. We're expecting these recoveries to happen much quicker. And I'm not saying that that's always going to be the case. And I'm not saying that it's not. But statistically, the average is 3.5 to 5 years. And that's what you really need to be prepared for. That's the Boy Scout of me.
Well, I guess when we're looking at things and people are looking at the fundamentals, I always hear this all the time because they are trying to be predictors of what's going to happen. The fundamentals aren't always dictating what's going on right now.
Yes and no. Here's what I like. So let's talk about the fundamentals. Earnings are exceeding expectations all the way across the board. The one fundamental that I really like is that the earnings and the market growth, it has broadened. We heard a lot over the previous 18 months or a little bit longer, the Mag 7, the Super 7, whatever it was of these seven stocks. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing a lot of profit taking coming in on that and reinvesting, you know, especially in small caps. And that's a huge deal because small caps are the lifeblood of America. Mm-hmm. That's where the majority of Americans work.
You've been talking about that for a long time.
Forever. And, you know, the Russell 2000, that's a really good indicator. And it has been breaking record after record after record. Now, towards the end of June, the end of the second quarter of this year, 2026, we saw a lot of profit taking. And people were getting really nervous. Oh my gosh, people are selling. People are selling. Well, there's two reasons. Number one, people are taking profits off the table and they're reinvesting in other, they're broadening the market. And that's really, that's healthy. It's like pruning a bush or a tree. That's really what you want to have happen if you want it to continue to get taller and stronger. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing that we're looking at when we're seeing profit taking is when we're seeing these big swings, these algorithmic trading programs, they hit certain benchmarks, and so they'll buy, and then they'll sell. That's why you're seeing 300, 500, 1,000-point swings in a day between market open and market close, and sometimes even greater than that. So, you know, you're seeing a lot of fluctuation there, and you can't time it. You can't hit that button quick enough as compared to those direct feeds from those algorithmic trading programs to the floor. It's instantaneous. And so that's why you really have to have a long-term view and perspective about what it is that you want to have happen, because that's really what it's all about. So, I mean, you really got to back into having that plan. The plan is, this is what I want to have happen. This is the outcome that we want. Okay, now that we know that, what's the strategy? The strategy is, how are we going to get there? How are we going to achieve that and ensure that it's going to happen, right? And that's why safety, income, and growth is important. But, you know, everyone's situation is a little bit different. You may call it different things, but at the end of the day, that's rules-based investing. And that's how you could take the fear out of the market. The one thing that, well, we'll just say the pundits on TV, I'm one of those, right? But anyways, you hear gold and silver. You know me, right? I love precious metal. But I said, as soon as Kevin Warsh was confirmed the new Fed chair, I said, watch gold and silver, right? It's going to come down. And it really, really came down. I mean, gold, I think at one time at the low,
it was like 52, wasn't it?
No. It's over, it was like 4,000. No, it was at 56, close to 56.
Okay.
And silver, I just saw silver is close to 60. That's a huge deal. And why is that important? I look at that as good news. You know, we believe in gold in our portfolios. We were really looking at it hard when it had that huge run-up earlier in the year. And as we were watching the news and everything else, we were like, all right, well, let's just kind of hold on. And then, you know, the conflict with Iran happened, and then they announced Kevin Warsh. Because he was so hawkish on inflation. So hawkish means he doesn't like inflation. He doesn't believe in inflating the balance sheet, which is putting money into the system. He really wants to reduce that inflation.
I don't think anybody has seen where that's been beneficial.
It depends. Wow. It depends on which end of the spectrum that you're, yeah.
A short-term, like, Band-Aid for something that is much larger at play. I mean, I guess when we look at debt, you can't look at that debt situation and say, we're going to spend our way out of it. You're just not going to.
No. And that, for me, that was a huge concern, was the debt. Because as rates go up, how are you going to service that debt? It started decades ago with the Fed chair and the Treasury secretary not refinancing under Clinton. Yep. Okay. And to make everyone's legacy look better, really what they were doing was, is they were shortening the term of the refinance to get the lower rates, because the 20 and 30 year were way more expensive. And so in order to get a better balanced budget, never happened. Well, it did one year, but.
Well, it's a gamble, and they're gambling not with their money.
Well, when rates were zero, you would have thought, common sense, but you know.
Refinance then.
Yeah, refinance, you know, on the 20 and 30 year, but instead of refinancing 90 and 100, 180 days and maybe 365 or 2 years out. So now we've got more than a third of the debt coming due. And if we have to refinance that at a high rate, the service on the debt is now larger than the defense budget. So if rates don't come down, the way that we continue to spend and the way the national debt is, I mean, we're pushing $40 trillion. Now, all of a sudden, it's going to be broaching the same cost as Social Security, Medicare. And that's an issue. Getting the rates down, getting the economy strong, this is trickle-down economics, right? Reaganomics, whatever you want to call it, where, you know, capitalism, you let the economy be the driver. And we saw that when, even though the Feds were lowering rates, what did we see mortgage rates do and the bond rates? What'd they do? They went up because the markets were dictating, no, that's not real. I get it, you're lowering rates, but that's not really going to happen. And we're seeing the inverse, right? So the Feds aren't lowering rates. They kind of held steady. They're not raising rates. And I don't think they will, as long as oil stays where it is. But the bond market is coming back. And the reason I just saw today, the 30-year fixed around 6%, 6.25%. So it's coming down. And I wouldn't be surprised, just based on the markets themselves dictating, I wouldn't be surprised if we see the 30-year mortgage under 6% soon.
Especially as we approach midterms. I mean.
Well, that's the other thing that's coming up, right?
And I guess that's what people are going to be looking at in the next 6 months is, how is that going to play into the market and their investments? I guess talking about the plan as a whole, we're talking about stay within the plan. But I think people's questions for you right now are, what's the next 6 months going to look like?
When you think about politics, everyone says, well, leave politics out of it. It does play a part, no matter what, right? I don't care what side of the fence you're on. But at the end of the day, again, if you have a plan, when the Republicans this time and last time, oh my gosh, the sky is falling, the world's going to fall apart. When the Democrats took control of the houses and the White House, oh my gosh, the sky is falling, the world's going to fall apart. And the economy and the markets just keep growing. Okay. Again, it goes back to you've got to have a plan. Now, there are times when you look at the tech bubble, the big difference between at least the way that I see it, is when you look at the tech bubble, when that popped in 99, 2000, and compared to now, is those companies, those IPOs that were coming out, initial public offerings, those companies were in the red. They weren't positive. You know, they were losing money year in and year out. And a lot of these IPOs coming out now, they're flush with cash. You know, they're positive. They're positive revenue. They have a positive EBITDA number. And that's the difference. And so when you start seeing things kind of get out of whack, I mean, really out of whack, you know, you see debt going through the ceiling, you see interest rates going up, and you see IPOs that that make no sense. All right, well, that's when you need to take a second look. And we do that every day, right? We continue to look at it day in and day out. Where are we at? Is it making sense? Is it passing the sniff test? Where does it stand? But at the end of the day, it's rules based. Where we stand, are we in good shape? You know, looking at the duration of the bonds. Do you shorten the duration or lengthen them? So the duration is what's the length of the bonds that you're invested in? And that's a big deal, because if you're getting a strong yield, but you're 30 years out and all of a sudden bonds interest rates rise, you could lose money just like we saw in 21 and 22. The TNT, the 20-year treasury, I think it was down over 30%. And people think bonds are safe. It's just like anything else. You need to understand the risk that you're taking, because every decision has a consequence. You just need to make sure whatever it is that you're doing follows the plan that you want and the outcome that you want to have.
Well, and I guess that's where I'm going to spin it back to you and saying to anyone that's listening right now, if you have questions, this is the time. Make the phone call, reach out, ask the question. Our phone number at our office is 614-526-4118. We also have get through our website. You can reach out, but this is the time when you should be analyzing that risk that you're taking and looking at all the parts of the plan. Do you have a plan? And that's where it's time to make that phone call, especially if you're in retirement already.
You know what? I just want to add one last thing. The bottom line, the first half of this year rewarded all the investors who stayed diversified. So diversification is a big deal, right? And they held and maintained that long-term perspective. Even as geopolitical threats happen, all these economic headlines created all the short-term uncertainty, and it's going to be the same thing for the second half of the year. Cooler heads will prevail.
Let's leave it on that. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
When was the last time you tested your fitness level? Not your workout routine. I'm talking about your financial endurance. Because if saving to a 401k is the extent of your effort, it is time for you to start shaping up. And Ed Sedell is here to help you do that with The Retirement Trainer. It's his podcast to help you examine your financial stamina and learn the questions you should be asking and areas to focus on to help you get to that place you've been working so hard for, a happy, comfortable retirement. And it's not as hard as some might have made you believe. Ed's broken it down into 5 simple steps. It's the retirement fitness plan, which he personally created to help clarify key areas of your financial life. Learn more about the retirement fitness plan at egsifinancial.com. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to The Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer. Investment advisory services offered through EGSI Investment Management, DBA EGSI Financial Group, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through EGSI Financial Services, Inc., Ohio License Number 102-0619.